And joining me right now here on the phone line, talk a little Florida Gator basketball as we're here at the final stretch of the season. He's my good friend John Ferry with Sports Now up there in Jacksonville. John, how you doing today?
Mark, doing great. Excited about a Gators basketball game tonight. I can't believe it's the home finale. Where did this college basketball season go? But it's senior night in Gainesville. And a big rematch against Alabama, a team that Florida took to overtime in Tuscaloosa 2 weeks ago. Let that get away late, lost in overtime. And a big game, I think, for Florida for seeding not only for the SEC basketball tournament next week, but for the big one, March Madness and the NCAA tournament in 2 weeks. So there's a lot on the line tonight in Gainesville.
Do you feel like, John Ferry, the team is a lock to make the tournament right now?
I do. They're at 20 wins overall. They're at 10 wins in the conference. I think they are a lock. Now, you don't want to lose out, and you want to win a few more to ensure you got a better seed. But I think they've done enough right now, Mark, to get in. I like their chances tonight, by the way, too. And I think they could possibly win out. They've got Alabama tonight, as I just said, a very tough game. And then they're at Vanderbilt Saturday. So they could possibly win 12 conference games this year and 22 overall. And that, to me, is a remarkable season for Florida basketball in year two and under Todd Golden. And this is the sixth sellout this season for the Gators. They haven't had six sellouts in a basketball season since 2017-2018. So the momentum, the enthusiasm, the trajectory, it's all going in the right direction for Todd Golden and this Florida basketball program.
All right, if you ended the season right now, how would you, like, what would their ranking be in the tournament? Would you have them as a double-digit seed, an eight seed? Where would you put them?
I would put them as an eight. Maybe a nine, but probably an eight. I know there are projections out there. Jerry Palm and Joe Lenardi, who are the bracketologists for CBS and ESPN, respectively, they've got them as an eight right now. And I think I'd put them around the eight or nine line myself. I don't think they'll be a double-digit seed, a 10 or lower, by the time this is done.
It's going to be interesting. You're just excited they're in the tournament. I agree with you. As Todd Golden year two, the thing for our listeners, though, is, and you've discussed this about a month ago, but I want to go back to this. How did he build this basketball team going into year two to get them the 20 wins and get to the tournament?
Well, the seniors on this team, transfer portal, is going to be the nucleus of the formula, and that's Tyrese Samuel and Zion Pullen, who are both fifth-year grad students that will play their last game in Gainesville tonight. Mm. And I think he did a remarkable job in the portal. He also got Micaiah Henlogton, the freshman out of Marshall. And that's been the key. Walter Clayton Jr. is another point guard that he got from Iona that Rick Pitino wanted to follow him to St. John's. And it's been mostly the transfer portal. There's been a mixture of some freshmen in here, Alex Condon and Thomas Howe, but I think Todd Golden has done a great job of mastering the transfer portal, and I think that's the new way of college basketball. For those that remember the good old days when you'd have freshmen and sophomore maybe stay around at least till their junior or senior years, no more, really. You're seeing more and more of these programs in college basketball being built from the transfer portal. And that's been the nucleus for Todd Golden this year.
Yeah, so it's like, what's the team going to look like next year? You just hit the transfer portal again? Is that it?
I think he is going to hit the transfer portal. Now, the one difference, Mark, is I think he's got a nice nucleus coming back because Walter Clayton and Will Richard, from reports, and you never know until we get to April and May when these kids decide after the basketball season, but I think Richard and Walter Clayton Jr. are going to be back in Gainesville. Alex Condon and Thomas Howe, the two freshmen I mentioned, they're going to be part of the makeup next year in Gainesville as well. So I think he's going to have four or five guys on this team, Todd Golden, next year from the current team. I don't think Riley Kugel comes back, by the way. He's been the disappointment for me of this team. There were so much expectations for him. Maybe I'm being a little unfair, but I expected more. He's been coming off the bench, and I think he probably moves on. It'd be great to have him back, but I don't expect him to be back. That's just my opinion. We'll see how it plays out. But Todd Golden's going to have to dabble in the portal as well to answer your question. But I think he's going to have more guys returning to work with this year, in addition to a couple from the transfer portal, than he had this particular season, where basically, other than Will Richard and Riley Kugel, everybody else on this team is either transfer portal additions or true freshmen. That's what he's basically been working with. So that's why I think this season's even more remarkable when you look at what they've accomplished to this point.
We're here at John Ferry Sports now. He's going there to Gainesville tonight for senior night, Florida, Bama. How many games have you gone to so far this year for the O-Dome?
Funny you ask. I was counting this up, and this will be my eighth game of the year. Florida plays 15 home games. This will be number eight, which for me, I believe, is a record. I don't have it tallied up all the years I've been going, but I normally don't make eight games basketball-wise in person. Normally, I'm just there for the Saturday afternoon or slash night games. But this one's a pretty big one tonight, Mark, so I will be there in person to see senior night and an Alabama team that is fighting to win the SEC. Now, I think their chances got diminished a lot by losing to Tennessee Saturday night. Both these teams are coming off losses this past weekend. Florida lost a 10-point lead in the second half at South Carolina. Alabama led for the majority of the game against Tennessee. So I think you're going to have a couple of teams with chips on their shoulders as well tonight, which I think makes this even more interesting.
What was the best game you went to then?
I would say the best game I went to, and it wasn't a Florida win, it was probably the first Florida-Kentucky game.
I agree.
Florida let that one get away, but as far as a competitive game, probably the best one. I did see a Florida-Georgia overtime game, but Florida almost let that one get away. They had a 21-point lead. The best game I saw that Florida played from start to finish was against Florida State back in November, the very first one I went to this year in person. So, and Florida-Auburn, I thought Florida played very well. That's a close second to what they did to Florida State. So Florida's only lost one home game all year, and it was that Florida loss to Kentucky I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Been a lot of good basketball down at Exact Tech Arena in Gainesville this season.
I just call it the O-Dome. Is that okay? I do
absolutely.
That?
That's what most still call it, affectionately.
I can't keep up. Because even the Magic, Orlando City Soccer, everyone keeps changing their name. I just give up. I'm like, Bounce House, O-Dome. That's what I go with. I don't. John Ferry's route to get to Gainesville, sponsored by John Ferry's bank account. That's what it'll be. You like that it got moved up to 7 p.m., compared to 9 p.m., right?
I love that it got moved up to 7 p.m. I'm already going to be past my bedtime on the drive back to Jacksonville and Northeast Florida, but it's a lot better driving around 10 o'clock at night than it is midnight. So absolutely I love that. And for those listening out there, that I'm glad you brought that up, that didn't know that, this game is a 7 p.m. tip. It's on ESPN if you're not going in person, but love that it got moved up those 2 hours.
Do you stick around for the post-game news conference, or you're like, look, come on, Coach Golden, I got to get back on the highway. Let's go. Come on. That's how it happened.
I will be at Coach Golden's post-game news conference. I do go to every one of them when I'm there in person, so I will definitely be there. Now, I will admit, full disclosure, if it had been a 9 o'clock tip, I might have stuck around for Coach Golden tonight, but I will stick around since it's a 7 o'clock tip.
Can this team, can it do damage in the NCAA tournament?
Absolutely. I think this could be a Sweet 16 team. I think this is a dangerous team for a 1, 2, or 3 seed to play. Whether you're a Connecticut or Purdue, Arizona, however these seedings come out in a week and a half, this team's got a nucleus that could, on a given night or day, whenever they play one of these upper echelon teams, could upset somebody. There's no question. I mean, they've got the four big men, which is, I think, the most important element of it, because they've got guys where you can have a guy or two get in foul trouble on this team. And unlike a year ago with Colin Castleton, Todd Golden's got options. And that's what I like about this team the most. And I love Walter Clayton and Zion Pullen, the two guards, because they can hit big-time threes at any moment in the game. They both can drive to the basket. And their free-throw shooting has improved, not only those two guys, but overall during the season, the entire team. So I think they're a dangerous team for a higher seed.
We're going to find out here in about 2 weeks. But I've told you my rule, John Ferry, with Sports Now. If a 15 seed beats a 2 seed, I'm not going to be shocked this postseason. I've seen this whole year. No one's actually superpower awesome. No upsets will shock me. I hope you know that.
It won't shock me either. And for those that forgot, a 16 beat a 1 last year. Farley Dickinson beat Purdue.
Yeah.
And none of these teams, to me, are dominant to the point where if they had an off night, a Connecticut who won it all last year, Purdue, as I just mentioned, Houston, who's the current number one in the AP poll, where they can just roll the ball out and assume they're going to beat a 15 or a 16. So I agree, Mark, and that's the beauty of this event to me, is that unlike any other event, college football, the NFL, the little guy can beat a guy that a little guy like a 15 or 16 seed could beat a 1 or a 2. And you really don't see that in any other sport. And that's what I love about March Madness and the NCAA basketball tournament the best.
All right, Gators spring game is coming up on April 13th. So we're like about a month away. Should I drive up and go to the Gators spring game this year?
Absolutely. Let me just give you one name, DJ Lagway. That would be the reason to come, because I think he's going to get a lot of snaps in that spring game. And so that's going to be the most intriguing part of it. There's some other new guys as well, but I think the five-star quarterback out of Texas, which how many times have we brought his name up over the last year, Mark? And the fact that Billy Napier was still able to get him to come to Gainesville after a lot of other guys decommitted in November and December, I think was big. And I think you're going to have a nice crowd down there. And it's the first time in 3 years they've had it on a Saturday, which I think really helps. It's been on Thursday night the past 2 years. I absolutely hated that. And I talked to a lot of Gator brethren and Gator Nation up in Northeast Florida that couldn't stand that. So between DJ Lagway, between being on a Saturday at 1 o'clock on April 13th, I think there's going to be a nice crowd in Gainesville, Florida that afternoon.
All right, here's what I think I'm going to do. So the UCF spring game is Friday, April 12th at 7 p.m., how about I go to that, then drive to, like, Ocala, get the hotel, then get up the next day and go to the Gators spring game? How about that?
It sounds like a winning formula to me.
All right.
And I like the fact that these spring games don't conflict with each other. And what I mean by that, you brought up UCF's on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Florida State plays the week after Florida on April 20th. And I believe Miami plays the same day as Florida on the 13th, but they're going to play at night. So for those that wanted to flip around on the TV or see more than their particular team, the main teams in the state of Florida aren't going to compete against each other in these spring games. So I love it. It gives guys like us a chance to see more than one team and fans as well.
Are the Gators starting practice soon here?
March 7th. Will be when they open up practice, which is Thursday. So we're 48 hours out from spring practice. And as we've discussed ad nauseum, this is the make or break year for Billy Napier, in my opinion, as far as whether he's going to remain in Gainesville long term, Mark. He's got to get to 7 wins. That's the magic number. Got to show improvement on the field. It's got to be a lot more organized than we've seen the past 2 years. We cannot have guys wearing the same jersey number. I hate to be sarcastic, yeah. But stuff like that's got to come to an end, which I don't expect to see that again. But it's the make-or-break year for Billy Napier, I think, as far as if he's going to be the long-term answer or not.
Have you noticed where if national writers have nothing to talk about, they just start writing how the Gators are a disaster? Do you notice this?
I have noticed it. Billy Napier is number one on the hot seat, I think, on most of those national writers' list. And even the old ball coach had comments, Steve Spurrier, which surprised me, to the Florida Times Union, which is our newspaper up in Jacksonville in Northeast Florida, about his doubts with Billy Napier and the way it's going right now. And with NIL, all the staff members that Billy Napier has hired. So a lot of pressure on Coach Napier's shoulders right now. I do not envy him going into this season.
All right, to paraphrase, what did the coach say, Spurrier?
He touched on the fact that he thinks there might be too many cooks in the kitchen because Billy Napier's staff is massive as far as recruiting, analysts, everything that's involved, that it's got to look better on game day. There hasn't been that smoothness, meaning decision-making-wise. I brought up the two numbers in the Utah game, two players wearing the same number. The field goal unit not getting out on the field late against Arkansas. Spurrier touched on all that. And then he touched on the NIL, which I thought was unfair to Coach Napier, that Coach Spurrier says you can't dedicate a massive amount of NIL money to one player. In Florida's case, DJ Lagway was used as the example. And quite honestly, I don't know how much NIL money DJ Lagway's getting. Rumors are it's a ton, and I believe it. It's massive, but Coach Spurrier says that creates friction in the locker room, that NLI money's got to be spread out more evenly. So that was some of the comments he made. And Chris Doering, by the way, has gone on record and said now he has doubts about where Florida is going to, from SEC Network, and a former great Florida wide receiver that played for Coach Spurrier in the 90s. So between the national writers you brought up, Mark, between local greats like Steve Spurrier and Chris Doering, a lot of pressure. I go back to the original point. There's a lot of pressure and a lot of heat on Billy Napier to succeed this season we're heading into.
I told you what I was critical of is one on National Signing Day back in February, a month ago, where, and I'm paraphrasing, where it's like, well, it took me 2 years to kind of figure out the landscape of this part of this area. I'm trying to make sure I say this correctly, but it was in those type of those words. It took me 2 years to kind of figure out what, and now we know what we're like, what are you talking about? What? That's the part I don't understand. Like, how do you not know you should be able to get through it in 1 year? And then by year two, you should have your plan in place and what you need to accomplish. And I still don't think we're there. And that's what now I'm jumping on the ship here, but I'm also critical of Billy Napier right now.
And that right there, I think, would go back to a lot of Coach Spurrier's philosophy on it, too, that you should definitely know the landscape. Number one, you're getting into the Southeastern Conference, and Billy Napier is from the South, for those that don't know. So he should know the landscape going in, quite honestly, Mark. And I think my biggest complaint has been it looks so disorganized on game day. And I just don't see how that can be, meaning you've got guys running on and off the field late. You've got penalties that should not be occurring. Forget about what kind of talent you have. To me, it should have looked a lot more smoother as far as the overall operation. And that's my biggest concern with Coach Napier. And quite honestly, to this point, and we'll see what happens this year, it looks like he's in over his head at this level. Maybe he was more suited for the Southern Conference in Louisiana than he is for the Southeastern Conference in Florida. Now, in fairness, I think he deserves another year to find out, and we'll see. But that's my biggest concerns, along with everybody else right now. So it's going to be a very interesting year. One thing's for certain in my mind, Mark, he's got to get off to a fast start this year, meaning with the schedule Florida's got, I think the Miami game on August 31st is a must-win. And I know a lot out there listening are going to say, how can you say the first game of the season's a must-win? And I'm saying it because of what Florida has looking at them in November, which is a road trip to Texas, a game against Georgia in Jacksonville, LSU and Mississippi, and a road game at Florida State. I don't know if Florida wins any of them. So I think they've got to beat Miami August 31st, and I think they've got to beat UCF October 5th as well.
I agree with you.
A lot of pressure.
Look, I've told you this for 5 months now. I'd rather just see DJ Lagway run out there and try to figure it out and go through his bumps in year one, and I'd be fine with that. Because there's no expectations for this team to do anything this year, and we've seen what we've gotten with Graham Mertz. Just let Lagway, I know he's a true freshman, you know, let Mertz play a little, and then I want to see Lagway most of the season. And that's how I feel, John, on the subject.
Well, I think Lagway's going to get a significant portion of the playing time. I think he has to, for the reasons you just brought up, Mark, and the fact that if he doesn't, I think he probably will move on, DJ Lagway, because we know the way the environment is in college sports right now. And the fact that Florida doesn't have a premium quarterback. Graham Mertz played well last year, and he wasn't really the problem, but he's not a game difference change maker. We know that. DJ Lagway might be, and we know he's a true freshman, but I agree. He's got to get some significant playing time. I think Mertz goes in as the starter, but I'd be shocked if there wasn't a package each and every game for DJ Lagway this season. And by October, Lagway may be inserted in as the starter. We'll just see how it plays out in September with these games against Miami. There's a road game at Tennessee in September. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how Coach Napier navigates that quarterback situation and who's getting the majority of the playing time as we move through the season.
Great stuff. John Ferry, Sports Now. My man, thank you so much for help, and enjoy the game tonight.
Mark, I will, and everybody out there, enjoy March Madness. It's a great time of year we're in.